It all goes back to the trust and the relationship and that North Star that we're moving towards together. We have this common vision. We're aspiring to deliver a different experience. We're reimagining how to live and age well through this beautiful campus setting.
Welcome to Coming of Age, a podcast that is changing the conversation on aging. I'm your host, Donna Duncan, CEO of the Ontario Long-Term Care Association. This season, season four of Coming of Age, we welcome an exciting roster of guests from around the world, thought leaders who are at the forefront of transforming seniors' living and care and are shaping the future for all of us as we age. Subscribe now to Coming of Age and be part of our community dedicated to meeting the needs of our aging population. Welcome back to a new episode of Coming of Age. Imagine a place where students and seniors not only coexist, but thrive together, learning and living in a shared environment. In Peterborough, Ontario, Canada, People Care Communities and Trent University are building a seniors' village right on campus. This project showcases how collaboration between educational institutions and care providers can change how we approach aging and care. Our guests today are two leaders at the forefront of this initiative. Megan Allen Lamb is the president of People Care Communities, building on a wealth of experience and a passion for person-centered care. She's leading the charge in creating spaces that not only provide care for seniors, but also connect them to the broader community. We're also joined by Dr. Kathy Bruce, president and vice chancellor of Trent University. Dr. Bruce has dedicated her career to advancing education and fostering innovation. Her leadership at Trent is instrumental in making this ambitious project a reality as the university integrates lifelong learning with community care, research, and innovation. Together, Megan and Kathy will share how this partnership came to be, what it means for the future of seniors' care, and the magic that can happen when different generations come together to learn and grow. So, let's dive into this conversation and explore how the Seniors Village at Trent University is setting the stage for a new era in seniors living and care. This episode was generously sponsored by our sector champion, Arjo. Welcome, everybody. I am really excited about today's episode. We are going to be talking about innovations in communities of care, seniors villages, partnerships. It really is a session today about the art of the possible. I am just so excited to have both of you join us and to share the innovations that you have been building on and creating. Megan, I'll start with you. Can you tell us about the partnership that you have been working with Trent University on with People Care Communities?
It's a wonderful question to start off with, and it really started from Trent University's vision to bring a seniors' village to the campus of Trent University. And you can imagine our delight at People Care Communities when we saw this opportunity, as it's our quest to change the world of senior living. And at the heart of Trent's vision was really bringing about an intergenerational opportunity where we bring seniors and students together on this campus. And as I think about fostering purpose and fulfillment, there's no better way when we bring young with elders. And you can imagine the learning that will also come from that opportunity.
I'm really familiar with Trent University, and it really is a privilege to introduce Trent to our listeners, but also to introduce the Trent Center for Aging and Society. I'm really curious to Megan's point around your vision. What was your impetus for this partnership and for thinking about or imagining coming together with a long-term care home?
Peterborough is a community with one of the lowest housing vacancy rates and an aging population. that is a sort of the larger picture. But Trent itself was looking for three things: land, learning, and leadership. And in the area of land, we were asking ourselves, how can we use our lands to advance teaching and research opportunities? And our campus has 1,400 acres, some of which has been designated by our Board of Governors for new initiatives such as this. The second thing there was learning. And so the growth of the Trent Center for Aging that you noted is really important. We have 16 research centers, and the Trent Center for Aging and Society is one of these. And it's really grown in its national and international notoriety and the quality of the work that's going on there. So we have an emerging focus on aging studies and research at Trent, which is just a great fit. We are also looking to have a designation as an age-friendly university and growing our international reputation in that area. So all of that fits together. And then that third thing I mentioned was leadership. How, as a university, could we contribute to community priorities, to broader priorities in Ontario and Canada that includes an aging community, long-term care wait lists, and a need for housing? So when you put all of that together, it just started to make tremendous sense to have a university-integrated seniors village anchored by a long-term care home. As it turns out, Megan and her team and PeopleCare have that same kind of vision.
How important is that alignment around vision and values? How do you gauge for fit when you're building something that's transformational and that is so new and visionary?
Yeah, I don't mind starting to talk about that. Certainly, we went through the standard sort of processes of requests for proposals and all of the things that are expected of us. We were looking for a partner who was interested in experiential learning, who had a track record of innovation. And we have seen that. So one of the things I think that cemented this partnership beyond technical processes, if you will, is that we spent time in each other's spaces and places and learning about each other's visions. And that made a huge difference in the way that we started imagining together. So it's not just that technical process, but the way that we put our ideas together. When we were visiting some of the LTC homes of PeopleCare, we saw incredible examples of innovation, including drug dispensaries and all kinds of like really personal relationships that the staff had been building with their home residents. So with that, it made us feel really confident in not just that we'd followed process, but that we had made a unanimous and the right choice of a partner.
I'd love to weigh in there. I remember driving onto the campus as we were coming up to present to the Trent evaluation team on the Seniors Village RFP, in particular to the long-term care home. And I remember driving onto this beautiful campus with lush greenery, with trees, this beautiful river flowing through the campus, and imagining our residents getting to experience all the beautiful amenities of a university campus. And I felt in that moment, they had us at hello upon driving into this beautiful campus. And when you think of how capital intensive it is to build out seniors' villages, imagine the art of the opportunity whereby our residents will get to play, enjoy, learn in this beautiful setting. And it's all right there the moment we open our doors to residents to enjoy this beautiful long-term care home in this beautiful setting with these winding trails. You couldn't ask for a better setting for our residents to be enriched and really grow and continue on a quest of lifelong learning. And when you talk about the values, I think so often from an ageism perspective, we think learning may stop when somebody comes into a long-term care home. And that's the beauty of this relationship, is that at PeopleCare, we believe that everybody enjoys being a lifelong learner. And there's this opportunity with Trenton University that naturally presents itself for our residents and our staff and their students to thrive in this learning community.
If you think about what the campus allows residents of the long-term care home and the seniors village, they can access a much larger array of amenities. There's 32, you're right, Megan, 32 kilometers of walking trails. We have an athletic center with physio. We have a retrofitted pool with an entry ramp. You know, the many public lectures and events that are held throughout the year, all of these things create space in, it's sort of like a city within a city, if you will. And in that way, you know, we're bringing that city to the long-term care home.
I'm very excited about this vision, and I really like that clarity, Kathy, as you talk about what are those other elements that you're bringing to bear. So it's not just you're going to build a long-term care home in the middle of your campus. It really is a fully integrated village, and I love that idea, city within a city. You spoke earlier, Kathy, about the research centers that Trent hosts. I'm very interested because in long-term care, we spend a lot of time looking at models abroad. So we talk about Denmark, we talk about the Netherlands, but we don't talk a lot about the innovations that are actually happening in Ontario or Canada more broadly. So I'm very curious, as you build out your vision, how will you be assessing, evaluating, but also where does research come in with a view to even being able to replicate or scale the models?
That's a very complex question and requires a complex answer. I'll try and keep it simple enough. If we think about a living classroom where everyone's involved in both learning and research experiences, it helps to put some idea around, a framework around this. So we see experiential learning as an essential part. It's head, heart, hand learning. So, you know, the whole mind, body, and spirit are involved with this. And part of it is that we already engage in research on a regular basis. So our community is used to that. And we are constantly looking to develop what we call wise practices. That is an Indigenous way of talking about best practices. And it's a good gift of a word, we think. And so Indigenous engagement and respecting the environment are two strong values at Trent. They should be strong values in Canada. They're strong values of people care. And when that is done really well, and we are modeling those very best practices, those wise practices that we aim to teach, there's research and learning embedded right there. We have very traditional ways of doing research. We can, you know, do all kinds of pre and post and quantitative and qualitative studies, and we can write reports, and all of those will just be a natural component of the work. And I think in some ways, it makes for a different way for people care to think about things too. If they know that we're going to try something, and it might have some risk in it too, say careful risk. And then what that does is it gives us a space or a frame to do that work, and we'll report on it and we'll follow up on it to make sure that we are continually making those improvements. Sometimes it's called design research. So you design something, you try it out in a small, simple way, and then you build over time and you build and build. There's also that idea of action research. So we're taking some actions and we're assessing the actions and the outcomes from those actions. And we know that people care clearly wanted a partner to scale up learnings to the whole sector. So think of this as a living lab, a learning lab that we hope to really develop innovative practices and test them and then share them. Knowledge mobilization is key here. Sharing those practices, scaling up those learnings to the sector is a shared goal.
So Megan, People Care has been involved in a number of really creative partnerships You are building a number of new long-term care homes. You've already built a number of long-term care homes. How do you foresee the work that you're doing on within the context of this seniors village at Trent University? How is it today informing what you're building and creating in these other communities?
So that's one of the opportunities that encaptured us around the longevity of the research opportunity with Trent University. We have wonderful partnerships through a number of different universities and colleges that knock on our door quite frequently. And we engage in a lot of different types of research, but a number of those research projects are short-lived. And then we move on and take on a different research project. What we love about the opportunity with Trent University, as Kathy was speaking to, around this transferring knowledge to action from the research, spreading that across our other people care homes, but thinking beyond that, the walls of just people care, and how might we spread that across the sector? Trent University is an internationally recognized university, and with their Trent Center for Aging and Society, imagine the reach and then the return back to people care based on their relationships as well that we can learn from. One of the benefits we've already experienced from Trent University is a three-part series that they did on university-based seniors villages. And so we're taking those learnings and the innovations that were noted within that three-part series and thinking about how do we infuse that into our other communities? And some of those learnings are creating new innovations. We're partnering with another group in Collingwood on the first of its kind health and wellness village, and really thinking about placemaking in that community village. Just down the road in Thornbury, there's a new campus of care that People Care is involved with, and it's really focused on bringing intergenerational workforce housing onto that campus. So again, as we think about the learnings that will come from Trent University, having this living learning classroom right in the heart of our long-term care home, imagine the spread across people care and beyond. And so those are the opportunities that really excite us and get us up in the morning. And we certainly have this very curious growth mindset. And so again, it takes us back to the values that are shared between Trent University and people care, and imagining the art of the possible of the learning that we can take away and spread through the research opportunities that we gain through Trent University.
And a very practical piece here is that we have agreed to share a full-time coordinator. And that person will facilitate this work. It can't just be on the backs of everybody else. And so we've made that commitment together to allow us to develop these effective ways of working together, increase the range of research possibilities, the innovations, and the impact, the outreach and upscaling of that work.
The other thing I would love to note too, because there's, as we're learning about university-based seniors villages, there's some criteria that leads to the success of the villages. And one of those criteria is around proximity. And we are enormously grateful that Trent University is co-locating this long-term care home on the campus, because we see other models where they're affiliated, but they're not on the campus. We also love the opportunity whereby there's a commitment around student internships, placements, volunteer opportunities, and jobs. And when we think about the health human resource challenge in Ontario, it doesn't get any better when you're situated on this campus with all of these students that we can think about not only hiring in future on the Trent University long-term care home, but in our other people care homes as students travel and, you know, experience other parts of Ontario.
It's really wonderful what you're doing and what you're leading. So one of the challenges we have in, certainly in Ontario and in our cities, is access to land. And our universities, our campuses, they have land, and to use it for a broader good and to really think more creatively about how you use your space, it gives me a lot of hope as we reimagine the use of space, but also as we break down silos between and across sectors. And I'm a big proponent of lifelong learning and research. One of the things, Kathy, that you touched on earlier that I know our audience would love to learn more about is your Trent University is a leader in its work with Indigenous populations, with the principles and philosophy of our Indigenous population. And I'm really curious, as you build out this Made in Canada model, how do those tenets and principles, how are they coming to life?
Yes. So first of all, hope. You've hit the nail on the head. I wouldn't have become president of Trent University except for that. I have to have hope, and I do have hope in what's possible here. And breaking down those silos is incredibly important. I want to touch on three things: housing, the healthcare workforce, and our Indigenous relations. So we know already that there are challenges with housing, and the challenges are clearly pointed to seniors' housing. We know that there's a healthcare workforce shortage. And with that, we also know there's good evidence that exposing students to older people early in their studies increases their interest in pursuing work in that area. We cannot lose that. That's hope right there, and building that, thinking about some of the programs that we offer and how we expand those. We have a course on psychology of aging. We have a specialization in aging studies. We have an MA in interdisciplinary aging studies. Those are all going to feed in. But you were circling in on this idea of how do we incorporate. So those are responses, right, to needs. But we also want to be proactive. One of the things we've learned in the studies that we've done so far is that there are stronger and more effective ways of engaging with local First Nations and the city to determine, how this can unfold. So we have already worked with local First Nations and the city to figure out where the community of care, the village, would be built. And we've undergone a number of studies for the site. We know that through our Indigenous engagement, respecting the environment is really important. And the location and the site is a healthy place. So in our consultations, we have learned that the environment and the natural areas are extremely important to our Indigenous elders, our seniors, and to the Indigenous members and First Peoples of our region. So we know that. We just have to ask, and we just have to think about now, how do we make that happen? It has to actually be instantiated in the structures, in the access to space, in the ways that we're interacting. So we have a lot of programming in Indigenous studies at Trent. We're a leader in this area. We've had the first, we have the first PhD program in Indigenous studies for all of Canada. So we have a lot of capacity to support this work, both internally within the university, but also more broadly in the First Peoples and First Nations that are in this region.
I want to just remark on the point around Kathy's making around housing, because in the long-term care sector, it sometimes gets missed as you think about the affordable housing crisis in Canada and in Ontario in particular, and the role that long-term care is playing. Long-term care offers social housing, where anyone coming into a long-term care home is not turned away based on financial means. And so we build these homes and we truly see them as an individual's home with 24/7 care wrapped around that individual. And our quest at People Care is really going beyond that and creating these life-enriching experiences within our homes. So we've got the home, we've got the care, and now it's really about that life-enriching experience And how do we create a purposeful and fulfilling experience for our residents when we have this full care wrapped around them? And that's what we love to do, and that's what our teams are best at. And so I needed to make that point because long-term care is building hundreds, and thank you to the government for the investment in long-term care, literally hundreds and hundreds of different suites across long-term care to be a partner in addressing the affordable housing crisis in Ontario.
We've certainly spoken in previous episodes about some of the challenges that our seniors faced during the pandemic. And so much of it was anchored in the isolation, not only of our residents, but the isolation of the buildings in which they were living and the structure of the buildings. During the pandemic, I actually had the privilege of speaking on a panel with a leader from First Nations, from the Six Nations in just outside of Brantford, Ontario. And one of the things that came up on that panel, Kathy, was how First Nations respect and revere their elders. And one of the issues that we've often spoken about on this podcast with various guests is ageism. And we want to hide our seniors away. And we put them in a box. And then we don't talk about them. And in fact, during the pandemic, we completely isolated them. We locked them in and we locked people out. And so I'm curious how some of that thinking coming from Indigenous communities and their reverence and respect for their elders and the role of elders in their communities. How is that informing what you're building as you think about the architecture of this, of the architecture not only of the long-term care home, but of this village and community?
I would start by saying that the Trent Center for Aging and Society and our Indigenous colleagues celebrate aging. It's really turning it on its head, right? This idea that, oh, we need to, you know, hide people away or care for them differently. There may be physical needs and so on. But really what we're doing is we are, could I say it this way? We're trying to redefine aging. And so it's two-way learning. And I want to come to this idea of the big idea of integrating. So a city within a city, the village idea, we're moving physically in and out. All ages are moving both ways. So our youth, our students, our community members are moving in to the long-term care home in the seniors' village, and the seniors' village residents are moving out into our city within the city and even beyond that. So there's two-way learning, right? The youth are learning from elders, the elders are learning from youth. And that's just a healthy, you know, integrated way to think about living and learning together, you know, cradle to grave or however you see that kind of cycle of living and learning. We see it as it's lifelong. And so having seniors on campus, can I give you an example? So just recently, we had a course, and the course was offered, it was called The Psychology of Aging. And the professor who ran the course reached out to the community and said, okay, I have this group of about 50 students, they're in year three undergrad, and we want to bring in some seniors from the community to come right into the class, to take the class with the students and do some shared learning. And that is exactly what happened. But you know what? The request went out and we were absolutely overwhelmed with the number of seniors who wanted to take that course. So that tells us that that ongoing learning and the back and forth, the two-way learning is incredibly important and rich. So that, you know, we're just going to have to take advantage of those kinds of opportunities. We actually requested in the request for proposals that there be a large multipurpose room. There's a reason for that. We want to have classes there as much as we want to have classes further out on the campus.
And it's such a wonderful opportunity thinking about seniors out on the campus. But for those that may be less mobile, to have that classroom in the long-term care home. And we think of that classroom around students and engagement and learning, and also for residents being in that classroom. And then you think about what a wonderful opportunity to connect the past with the future in terms of what's the wisdom of the elders and what's the wisdom of the students, and how those two come together to create new innovative thinking that, you know, we would have never thought of until you bring those different ages together.
Well, and one of the things I'm curious about as you talk about the educational opportunities, there's a lot of work that's happening in Ontario and Canada, but globally around international recruitment and tapping into a global workforce that we are all collectively sharing, actually. And I know, Megan, that PeopleCare has been doing a lot of work in thinking about that ethical recruitment. I'm curious about the opportunity that Trent and PeopleCare have as you build out this living learning lab to support the education and credentialing of internationally educated professionals or students who are coming here and want to learn and really discover best practice in a Canadian-made model.
Mm-hmm. I'll speak to our experience in Meaford, where we brought 30 internationally educated nurses. And certainly, you know, when you bring people over who are willing to work and care for residents in your home, our perspective at PeopleCare is we wrap full supports around them, from helping them integrate into the community, helping them get connected to healthcare, helping them get their credentials. And so in our Meaford experience, we were bringing in different organizations and consultants to help those internationally educated nurses receive their credentialing. But it continues to be a policy issue that we advocate at a federal and a provincial level. And I can imagine with our partnership at Trent University that we'll be able to advocate together from a Ministry of Education, Ministry of Health and Long-Term Care, and be just that much more stronger in our efforts to make the change that we need to see as we know this tsunami of this aging demographic is upon us. We don't have time to wait for 0 to 5 years to get a professional credentialed here in Ontario, Canada. We see other provinces that have best practices that are doing it quicker than Ontario. So again, when I see the opportunity with Trent University bringing a senior living operator with a university together and advocating as one, imagine how powerful and stronger that voice can be.
So the advocacy, I'm just, you know, nodding madly over here, Megan, for sure. I would add, you know, staff from diverse populations help diverse residents feel safe, welcome, supported. What we want to do here is see this not only as an opportunity to advocate, but as an opportunity to enhance belonging for newcomers and diverse populations. That is not a mismatch with the goals and efforts that we will be making together. It actually is a complete fit. It's not an add-on. It is part of the work.
Megan, you spoke about the recruitment of internationally educated nurses in Meaford. For our listeners, Meaford is a small rural community near the Bruce Peninsula, which is around Lake Huron, one of the Great Lakes. It gets a lot of snow, I have to say, but it's a charming community, and you've provided housing there. And again, that notion of housing. In one of our earlier episodes last season on our podcast, we actually met with a philanthropist who's really leading the way around what they call multi-sector planning. And so elements of transportation, housing, education. So it isn't about aging in a vacuum. To your point, Kathy, aging is a dynamic process, and your students are aging, but the residents in your long-term care homes will be aging. And so you really get this very organic process. And in fact, I see this as a living lab that's actually demonstrating what multi-sector planning actually looks like and can be as you build this out. And I find that very exciting. I am curious, though, about as you move along this journey, and I know you're still very much in process and in evolution, I'm interested in hearing from each of you what the barriers or challenges are that you've been having to navigate. Because I think those are always lessons learned that others can actually avert.
Mm-hmm. Probably one of our biggest challenges, I think we were all excited when we knew that we were selected as the proponent to go forward in building out the first long-term care home at Trent University, and then we had the pandemic. So then you fast forward to here we are in 2024, and it is upon us now to really move forward aggressively. And we know in Ontario there's a time-limited opportunity to get approval to construct a long-term care home. And it takes a village, truly a village, to work towards meeting that milestone. And certainly it's a challenge, but it's an opportunity to get to know our partners really quick within the region of Peterborough, from the municipality to our Indigenous partners to more stakeholders in and around Trent University. And I'm delighted that we are on a fast track to come to November 30th of this year and truly reach that milestone of getting approval to construct from the ministry. So all of that to say that, you know, some of the biggest challenges have really been moving through the municipal planning processes. No fault of anybody. It was the pandemic, and now we're on track, but it takes a village for us to get there.
Yes, I think managing expectations around timelines is part of what Megan is talking about, you know, both from a city site planning process, the Ministry of Long-Term Care. There are detailed and time-intensive approval processes there, right? The other interesting managing expectations is for our community. Locally, the interest is extremely high and it's wonderful. But these processes do take time, and we want to continue to keep the community informed along the way so that they're feeling like they're a part of it. So that's for sure, managing expectations on timelines. The second one is around the funding to support research, and I'm coming at that from a sort of Trent perspective, but as we are adopting research and innovation in the long-term care home and in the broader community, it's something we're going to be working on together all of the time, and that's one of the reasons why that coordinator position is so important. But, you know, the background report work that we've done so far is really helping us to get to set the stage, and in fact, we have submitted joint research proposals together already, and we will continue to do that kind of work. And the third thing is around clarity of roles. So this is a community of practice. And in a community of practice, you know, we call it the nexus of multi-membership. You kind of belong in different places at the same time. And so clarity of roles when you're working across health and education sectors and is really tricky work. So we do have a shared vision, but one of the things, and this is a practical thing as well for others to learn from, is we have established a joint steering committee. So that joint steering committee oversees the project. They're in constant communication through the project leads that we've assigned. They're spending time together. They're working on smaller initiatives that build, you know, the trust, the relationship, and the successes that then lead to this very important next larger step. So those are the ones I've been thinking about.
Here's a question for you. So in my past life, I've had the privilege of being part of many innovative partnerships, especially in the mental health world. And one of the challenges we consistently came up against was this was the structures of government as a barrier. And because you're working from two different ministries, so you have long-term care. Well, actually, you have long-term care. You have health. You have research. You have post-secondary. You have municipal affairs. And then you have your municipal government, provincial government, and federal government. That's a lot of work to navigate. Is there a way to simplify it? Is it a question of finding champions? Again, it comes back to that multi-sector planning paradigm, I think. But I'm really curious because this is enormously complex. And then when you bring in international students or international recruits, you're now also dealing with other governments outside of the country. I'm really admiring each of you and your teams for navigating this, because I think for our listeners, many of whom are involved in public policy, this is a daunting task.
Yeah, one of the things we need to do in this kind of a partnership is to respect the ministers and the ministries that we each work with and our local MPPs and get that group, those groups on side with us so that we need the open communication. We need to see this as collaboration, not roadblocks. I would say in terms of the open communication, the clearly articulated ways in which we see this coming to realization is actually very important for everybody to understand. So if Megan's talking to the long-term care minister and I'm talking to the minister of MCU, we are talking about the same things in our own specific ways. And that gives us actually, you could say, this is Pollyanna perhaps, but gives us greater influence in the sense that there's no divisiveness here. It's more collaborative in its approach. And we are singing from the same songbook, right? We have that shared vision. We have this way that we've determined we're working together. And we know how to advocate with our ministers and our MPPs and so on. We know how to do that from our perspective. So respect that work. Let each partner do what they need to do and bring it together through the way that we communicate.
And, you know, I probably have worked in health too long because I think of, you know, all of the different partnerships and stakeholders and how complex and complicated it can feel at times. It doesn't feel that way with Trent. And a silver lining of COVID probably gave us the opportunity to get to know one another much better and with a longer runway than we would have had initially. And so to Kathy's point, it's like we have this common vision. We're aspiring to deliver a different experience. We're reimagining how to live and age well through this beautiful campus setting. And, you know, if there is a rub, it's, you know, we pick up the phone and it's like making sure that, you know, we can get through some of those issues that may bring conflict or challenge, because it all goes back to the trust and the relationship and that North Star that we're moving towards together.
Wow. I'm so inspired by you and clearly nowhere in the equation, and you don't accept no. You figure out how. If you were to give one piece of advice to either a university, a college, or a long-term care home about moving forward in this type of relationship, what would that one piece of advice be? Kathy?
Institutional commitment. So each partner in the partnership has to have the backing of their board, the board of governors, in our case, the faculty, the staff, the communities where we do the work. So that level of commitment really needs to be strong, because there's going to be times when we're challenged and things get tricky, and we need to be able to rely on that commitment. We said we're doing this, we're going to do this. And as you say, there's no no's, it's just how are we going to get around this obstacle or this challenge next? And how are we doing that together? So that institutional commitment from Trent's side, but also from PeopleCare side, that it needs to really be there as a key to the And if you allow me one more, I'm going to jump in with the hunger for innovation.
I'll allow it. And Megan, on your side?
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about going back to the proximity of where Trent originally envisioned this long-term care to be situated on their campus. And as we drove into their three-part series on university seniors' villages across the U.S. as an example, proximity matters. And as you've heard Kathy and I talking throughout this podcast, being on the campus opens the door to all those wonderful amenities that Kathy has so beautifully described that our residents will benefit from. So that's one thing that I might not have gotten so much before coming into this new partnership. The location of the seniors' village matters. And what also matters is around having some of those formalized structures in place around the student placements, around the research and teaching agreement, being really mindful of what do you both want to get out of this opportunity for your students, for your elders, and being really clear about that. And then really honing in on the art of the possibility, as Kathy has just talked about, that hunger for innovation. And that's where our DNAs overlap, quite honestly. As you know, Donna, PeopleCare has been an innovator for years within this space. And it's like, oh, wow. It's like, find a partner that shares those aspirational dreams with you, because that matters at the end of the day when you're building something together.
Well, and especially when it's not something easy, when there is a lot of complexity, that commitment to daring to dream and daring to adapt and challenging the art of the possible. What I would say in listening to each of you, we've not spoken about beds. So often when we talk about long-term care, we talk about beds. What inspires me is each of you is talking about people. You're talking about communities. You really are talking about building something that is anchored around people, and whether that's students, whether that's employees, whether that's residents. I really want to thank you both for your leadership, for the role models that you are. And I'm super excited about watching your journey. And I really look forward to walking onto campus and coming through the doors and seeing the people and the students and experiencing it.
Thank you, Donna. And you are very welcome to come to campus. We'll look forward to that.
Yes. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you for listening to Coming of Age, the podcast that is changing the conversation on seniors' care and aging. We hope this episode brings a new perspective and inspires you to continue the conversation with your colleagues, friends, and family. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast so that more listeners will join our community of changemakers in seniors' care. Until next time, I'm your host, Donna Duncan. Keep well. This episode was generously sponsored by our sector champion, Arjo. Arjo believes that empowering movement within healthcare environments is essential to quality care. With products and solutions that are designed to promote a safe and dignified experience through patient handling, medical beds, personal hygiene, disinfection, and the prevention of pressure injuries and venous thromboembolism, Arjo is committed to driving healthier outcomes for people facing mobility challenges. Learn more about Arjo solutions at www.arjo.ca.